All right, Alexander, let's discuss Manafort and let's discuss Julian Assange. Now, the latest news on Manafort is that he will be free to serve out the rest of his term. It's a little fuzzy whether it's the rest of his term, the 90 months left on his term, or until the CV pandemic subsides. I don't think we have a straight answer yet, but he will be allowed to go home and serve it under house arrest, whatever that time frame may be. Manafort, his lawyer, argued that he has a lot of underlying conditions, health issues that put him at high risk with the CV pandemic, high blood pressure, liver disease, respiratory ailments, and the such. So the judge has allowed him to serve his sentence at home. He has 90 months left on that sentence. And then we'll turn our attention over to Julian Assange. And the big question there for me is, now that the Flynn case has completely fallen apart, why the hell is Assange in a UK prison? Doesn't make any sense. The whole Russiagate thing is in tatters. Russiagate is now Obamagate. So why are they holding Assange? Question number one. And number two, which has been the question we've been asking since the get-go, if anybody really wanted to find out what the hell happened during this entire hoax, especially with regards to the DNC and the quote-unquote hack and SR and everything that happened there, well, anyone and everyone could have gone to the UK and to the Ecuador embassy and interviewed Julian Assange and gotten a straight answer, whether that be Trump administration, whether that be Mueller, whether that be Barr, it doesn't matter. Julian Assange definitely has the answers. But now that the Flynn case has fallen apart, now that we have the CEO of CrowdStrike, who's also said he has no idea whether it was a hack or not, there's no reason to hold Assange. So I wonder why the UK is holding him, Alexander. I also wonder why the Australian government doesn't do anything about it. After all, he is an Australian citizen. And if I was in the Australian government, I would also ask the same questions. Why is this guy in prison? What's the reason now? There is none.
Let's first of all deal with the question of why is Assange in prison? Because I think you have put your finger on the issue with Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort is a convicted felon. You may not be happy with the way in which he was prosecuted. You may feel this prosecution was malicious and political and was intended to hit Donald Trump. But Manafort was found guilty by due process on various criminal charges of financial malpractice and tax evasion, and he was sent to prison. And he has been released from prison because, as a result of the ongoing current pandemic, Manafort, who has health problems, is believed or perceived to be at risk. That is the view the judge in his case has reached.
And Manafort was convicted felon, Alexander, unrelated to Russiagate stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Entirely unrelated to Russiagate. Nothing to do with Russiagate at all. These were, as I say, charges of financial malpractice and tax evasion. They're nothing to do with Russiagate. He was not actually charged with anything to do with Russiagate, and the judge who presided over his trial made it absolutely crystal clear that though he felt that Manafort was ultimately guilty of financial malpractice and tax evasion, he had serious concerns about the fact that Manafort was being prosecuted, and felt that the only reason Manafort was being prosecuted was for the political purpose, the political purpose of harming Donald Trump and creating insinuations that, you know, was something wrong with Trump and something real in Russiagate by coming after Manafort with these totally unrelated charges. But the point I want to make is, and this is the point I'm trying to make, is he is convicted. He is serving a sentence as a convicted felon. Whether you think he should have been charged or not, whether you feel that prosecution was political or not, that's another issue. He is a convicted felon. Julian Assange is not a convicted felon. He's not even at the moment the subject of criminal proceedings. The proceedings which are against him in the United Kingdom are extradition proceedings brought against him by the United States. He is not currently charged with any criminal offence here in Britain, and there is no indication that he ever will be. So, Manafort is released because he's got underlying health problems, and keeping him in prison during a pandemic, which is known to be particularly virulent within prison populations, is seen as a danger to his health. I think that is entirely the right decision. Julian Assange, who is not a convicted felon, who faces no charge in the United Kingdom, is being kept in prison, a prison where the infection is known to have spread, despite the fact that, like Paul Manafort, he has underlying health problems, and despite the fact that the British government has a policy of letting people like Assange, who are seen as being at risk, out of prison in order to protect their health. Now, this seems to me two completely contradictory decisions. In one case, the Manafort case, the right one. In the Assange case, obviously the wrong one. A totally different standard is being used in relation to these two. And I would point out that in both cases, the decisions have been made by judges, by a US judge who very correctly and properly let Manafort free, and a British judge who, in my opinion, entirely wrongly has kept Assange in prison. I think that is a complete and gross error. And I think that Assange should be released from prison right away. As I said, he's got many health problems. He's at serious risk while he remains in Belmarsh. He needs to be put in a hospital, provided with proper medical treatment, and brought back to health. So, you know, I'm glad you brought up Manafort, because that shows in such a stark way the contrast between these two prominent cases are being treated, and the very harsh, in my opinion, unduly harsh, I'm actually going to say it, vindictive treatment that is being inflicted on Julian Assange. Now, that's on the specific issue of being released from prison. There is the other big issue of whether these proceedings against Assange should continue at all. Now, those proceedings against Assange are not supposed to be Russiagate related. They're supposed to all relate to the fact that way back in, I think it was 2010, WikiLeaks released all that information that they were provided by Chelsea Manning, showing all kinds of crimes, war crimes and other things that had been committed by the US military in Iraq. And it's the release of that information, that document dump provided by Manning, which is the source of the current US indictment, which has led to the proceedings against Assange in the United Kingdom. However, I think fundamentally you are right, because let's look at what the real issue so many people have with Assange is. Obviously, there was the Swedish allegations, but those have gone away and they've collapsed. What has poisoned so many people's minds against Assange is this fiction that he was in some way an intermediary between the Russians and the Trump campaign, and that he received all those emails from the Russians, and that he published them in order to help Donald Trump as part of some great Russiagate conspiracy.
He ruined Hillary Clinton's coronation.
Yeah, exactly. We now know that conspiracy never existed. There were no contacts between Julian Assange and the Trump campaign. The Roger Stone case has proved that conclusively. There is no evidence that Julian Assange obtained the WikiLeaks, obtained the emails, the DNC and Podesta emails from the Russians. Even the Mueller report, as we have discussed, admits that. And there is, in fact, no conclusive evidence that the Russians actually stole those emails via a hack at all, which is what we now know the chief executive officer of CrowdStrike, the company that originally made that allegation, has also admitted. So why then is he in prison? Why then is this campaign being conducted against him in this way? Why is there this huge hostility to him on the part of so many people? On that central issue, he is an innocent man. He was not part of any plot, any conspiracy, any collusion, either with the Russians or with the Trump campaign. He published emails about Hillary Clinton, about things the DNC had been doing, which were in the public interests. They exposed misconduct within the DNC during the 2016 election, which misconduct was not targeted against Donald Trump, but against Bernie Sanders, which is something that people always seem to forget. So I think he should be let out of prison right away. I've always thought that the case against him made no possible sense. But if people are still letting this specter of Russiagate influence their opinions of Assange, then they should let that specter go, because it has no reality.
Yeah, the a couple of quick points. With Manafort, it's interesting that they dug up all this dirt on Manafort. He got swept up in the entire Russiagate hoax, but they did nothing to Podesta, who has done pretty much the same things that Manafort was found guilty of, if not worse things. Podesta, the campaign manager of Hillary Clinton, and his brother, Tony Podesta, whose lobbying firm suddenly closed after the after the Russiagate thing came to light and Hillary Clinton lost the election. So interesting there that Podesta, nothing happened to him, both Podestas. The three pillars as to why they're holding Assange outside of the documents he released on with the reporters in Afghanistan is, of course, the Mueller report, which has been debunked. Mueller report said Assange had nothing to do, WikiLeaks had nothing to do with any of the DNC hacks. We've documented that. You have Bill Binney, who pretty much has set up the entire architecture of the intelligence agencies and understands it inside out, who also says this was not a hack. He's been on record multiple times. I mean, God knows how many times. He's done videos and he's written articles about what he believes happened. And he is the foremost expert. So he's pretty much exonerated WikiLeaks and Assange. And you have this CEO of CrowdStrike who has come out and said it as well. So there is not a leg to stand on as far as the hacking thing goes. It's vindictive, Alexander. My final point is vindictive because we've documented US, UK, Australia, and how those three intelligence agencies were working together to destroy the Trump White House. So isn't it interesting that you have Australian citizen in a UK prison about to be extradited to the United States, and no one is doing anything about it?
Well, indeed. Well, can I just say a few things about that? Firstly, I think that Bill Binney, who, as you correctly say, was the technical director of the NSA, the person who probably understands more about all of this than anyone else in the world, I mean, the leading expert, I think he's been vindicated, because, I mean, he has been always consistently saying this wasn't a hack and couldn't have been a hack. It is technically impossible for it to be a hack. You are much more of an IT person than I am. I'm not an IT person at all. But you understand well both the technical points that he's been making, which show that it wasn't a hack, and the fact, which Bill Binney, of all people, should know. He said, if it had been a hack, the NSA would have picked it up. And they've been very careful to never confirm that they have any evidence for it. And in fact, they refused, as we know, to provide that full endorsement of that intelligence assessment that Clapper and Brennan and Comey cobbled together, which the NSA basically refused to give a full endorsement of, and which was the one which said that the Russians had hacked the DNC. So Bill Binney, it seems to me, is vindicated. And besides, given a choice between Bill Binney and the CEO of CrowdStrike, I would personally prefer Bill Binney on any issue, especially any technical issue. But in this particular case, Bill Binney is giving a categorical opinion. The CEO of CrowdStrike isn't able to give one. He says, you know, he's got no conclusive proof. So it seems to me it's open and shut. If you put this before a court, if you were to put this before a court and listen to these two people, you would go with the one who was more qualified, who is Bill Binney, and the one who's more sure, who is Bill Binney. So that's the end of that discussion, as far as I am concerned. That's all I'm going to say about that for the moment. But let's also look at all of the other various pieces, all the other various reasons about why this case about Assange is being conducted. We've seen how Michael Flynn was entrapped. We've seen about the kind of things that were done to people like Carter Page, who were based, brought under completely illicit surveillance. You have absolutely correctly pointed out that in relation to the DNC emails, the single most important witness is Julian Assange. Given what we know about what was done to Carter Page, given what we know about what was done to Michael Flynn, given what we believe and practically speaking know about what was done to George Papadopoulos, is it far-fetched to say that the true reason these proceedings against Julian Assange, the single most important witness, the person who absolutely knows how WikiLeaks came into the possession of those emails, is it too far-fetched to say that the true intention behind these proceedings is to lock him up in some prison in Virginia, throw away the key so he never talks and never tells us what actually happened and how it was that WikiLeaks actually got those emails?
Final question, and this one is a little sad one, I guess you could say. It's a cynical, sad question that I have for you, but the US, UK, Australian intelligence, they wouldn't have a problem with Assange catching the CV, would they?
No, they wouldn't. I mean, I'm quite sure that, I'm sorry, this is a incredibly cynical comment I'm going to make now, but frankly,
yeah, it's a cynical question. That's why I said it. But I mean,
it's a cynical question, and I'm going to give, I'm afraid, what I think is a realistic answer. A realistic answer. I think a lot of people around the world would be very happy if Julian Assange were no longer there to potentially give evidence, which might expose their own misconduct. Bear in mind that he came very, very close to a deal in 2017, with the FBI, in which he was almost on the brink of giving evidence. And James Comey, who, as we now know, was up to his ears in all kinds of Russiagate activity at that time, was the point person who vetoed it, who brought it all to a stop. Now, Assange has been very loyal to whatever source it was that provided him with those emails. That's absolutely part of the ethos of WikiLeaks, that they will always protect their sources. But I think it seems to me that if he was properly questioned as part of an honestly conducted good faith investigation into what actually happened, the kind of investigation which both of us wants to see, then I think we would start to get towards the truth. And that, I think, is the reason more than any other that certain people in the United States and in Britain and in Australia, who are all involved, all of them implicated. I mentioned George Papadopoulos because, advisedly, because of course, George Papadopoulos came into contact with an Australian diplomat with intelligence connections. So all of these, the powerful people in all of these countries, who I am quite sure would be very happy if one way or the other, Julian Assange could be permanently silenced, either by seeing him pass away or by seeing him locked away in a place where he can't talk. That's what I think.
Let's not forget that Hillary Clinton has all but said that she would like to have drawn Assange. I mean, that's all.
Well, indeed. Absolutely. Publicly so, I believe. Publicly so.
Hopefully justice will be done. Alexander, let's...
Well, I hope so. I hope so. There was a very, very bitter article by Caitlin Johnson, who's been a very exemplary writer, in which she says that she doesn't expect justice to be done. I hope it is, because so many people have been truly victims in this matter. And Julian Assange is definitely one of those people. In fact, perhaps as of this moment in time, the specific moment in time, he's the one who's suffering most. He's in prison. He's at risk of infection. He has a long-standing lung condition, which puts him in danger if he's infected. And of course, he runs the huge risk. He's been separated from his family, which we've only found out about very recently, by the way, that he's actually got a family with children. And of course, he runs the very, very great risk, if he's sent to the United States, of being put through what would be, in effect, be a drumhead trial. No, it's not a real trial at all. And would end up in some prison oubliette where we would never see him again. So let's be very clear. This isn't an abstract question. It's a very real one. There are real victims. And I do hope that eventually we not only get to the truth, but the people who have done these terrible things are finally held to account.
Many real victims. Let's close the video, Alexander.
Many very real victims. But
SR, Assange, Flynn, Carter Page, Roger Stone. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
And I would, I don't like the man, but I mean, Paul Manafort is another victim. I mean, he may be a crook, but he was a crook in the same way that virtually everybody in the Washington swamp, which he is a member of, is also a crook. He was singled out, not because he's a crook, but because he was Donald Trump's campaign manager. That was all it was.
And Podesta, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, who was working with Manafort in Ukraine, on the same exact crap.
Absolutely.
The same exact stuff.
And exactly the same way. Exactly.
He's still doing the rounds on mainstream media.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's the point. That's exactly the point.
All right. Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button, smash that like, and please share this video with everybody you know. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. You will find those links in the description box down below. And look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video. And of course, go to The Duran Shop. Pick up some merchandise. We've got magic mugs. We've got polo shirts and t-shirts and all kinds of good stuff. When you purchase something, it really helps us out a lot. And what else? Alexander, do you have a Patriot beacon there?
I always have my Patriot beacon.
All right. Well,
reliably by my side, Alex. I wouldn't be without it.
Okay. Well, before you talk about how great the beacon is and how great our merchandise at the Duran Shop is, there is also another contest running through the month of May and most of June, I believe, as well. And it is now a giveaway for the Patriot Beacon 3 Blue camouflage. Wow. This flashlight is awesome looking. It's like a blue camouflage. People should be seeing a picture of it right now. It looks great, Alexander. That's the giveaway. Patriot Beacon, three blue, one tactical pen, and a monkey fist ball.
Well, I mean,
giveaway.
You can't.
Around 20, 20% off.
You can't not participate in a contest like this and possibly, hopefully, get into your possession a magnificent torch. I call it a torch. Alex and people in the US call it a flashlight, but a magnificent torch like this. And I mean, you know, blue, camouflage blue, it will look phenomenal. I haven't seen it, but I'm absolutely going to look it up now because it'll look absolutely phenomenal. Can I just say, I've had this torch now for some time. It is the best torch I've ever had. I think it is an absolutely indispensable thing in my life now. I wouldn't, as I said, be without it. It's got this extraordinarily strong, wonderful clear beam. You can lower, you can reduce the power. You can sort of do a flashing light with it, which is really all very useful. I mean, you're in a car and you want to signal to people where you are. As I said, having a flashing light is a really useful thing. But the actual main beam is tremendous. It's a beautiful clear light. And you can see huge distances with it. So, you know, if you're lost in a wood, for example, which I have often got myself lost in woods, then it's the absolute thing to have. And you can find your way around. Or if you drop something and you want to look for it, it's the ideal thing, especially on a really dark night. So it's an amazing torch. And, of course, the other great thing about it is it doesn't ever run out because it's solar powered, not battery powered. You don't have to worry about putting batteries in, which is something I always forget to do. So the result is, if you provided you keep it out in the sunlight, it just won't ever die on you. It will always keep going. It's completely reliable. Other thing I love about this torch is, you see, it's incredibly strong, and in fact, I'd say almost indestructibly strong. At least that's how it feels. You have immense confidence the moment you hold it that this is going to be a really good, reliable, strong torch. It's beautifully made in the United States, so that, you know, it's that tremendous quality that American products, high-end products, achieve. And, you know, this is a good example. And of course, just to say, you don't worry about losing it because you've got the thing there which enables you to keep it on. Now, it's got some other wonderful things. I mean, it's got a compass so that if you do get lost, as I often do again, even when I'm driving, well, you've got a compass, you can get your bearings very, very quickly. It's got a magnet so that if you are wandering around in your car, you want to put it somewhere, well, you can just find a metal surface and it will stay there. It's strong. So, you know, if you have an accident or you need a hammer, it's the best possible hammer you can get. You smash a windscreen very easily with this, but you can knock, you know, nails in or whatever it is you need to do with it, because it's really strong. You feel the confidence that comes with this product. And of course, if you need to cut yourself out of your seatbelt, well, it's got the seatbelt cutter there also. And last but not, well, two more things. I said it's solar powered and it doesn't sort of lose power. If you have your laptop or your tablet or your smartphone and those have run out, well, you've got a port there so you can recharge. And last but not least, and I'm only going to do this very briefly because if I leave it on too long, my dogs will come rushing. You have an alarm, which is, oh, where is it? Gosh, sorry, there. I won't leave it on for too long because, as I said, my dogs come rushing. But that's really helpful in itself because if I miss my dogs in the dark, well, all I have to do, they'll put that on and there they are. So I, you know, feel perfectly safe. I can't lose my dogs and I can call them whenever I need them. So Patriot Beacon 3, apparently in camouflage blue, you cannot be without it. And just to say, it's made in the United States, but our friends at Patriotic Legacy, they will send it. They send it right around the world. It's sent internationally. So please participate in this contest wherever you are and get yourself one of these wonderful things. And of course, if you go to our shop, you will also find wonderful things there. You will find our amazing magic mugs, beautiful porcelain, amazingly strong, elegant, capacious mugs. As I said many times, the best mugs in the world. And you will also find our amazing shirts, 100% cotton, all of them. And they are, without question, the world's best t-shirts, short-sleeved and long-sleeved. We also have amazing V-neck shirts and the world's best, most elegant, most beautiful, most stylish polo shirts, which you can wear in the most amazing locations. You could take it to apres-ski, or you can meet the Queen in one. I say that without any qualification at all. And we've also got other great things in our shop. We've got hats, hoodies, and stickers, and we've got ebooks on topics like Russiagate, like Ukrainegate, like Brexit, like Epstein, and even one on the oil crisis that we've just been through. So come to our shop, participate in the contest, get yourself a Patriot beacon, buy these great things you will find in our shop, support the Duran. We depend on you for support, and own these wonderful things. Alex will tell you how.
You will find a link to the Patriot Beacon 3 and the Patriotic Legacy contest that's going on in the description box down below. Duran 20 on checkout to get 20% off anything you purchase at Patriotic Legacy. And of course, the Duran shop, you'll find a link there as well to the Duran shop, so you can pick up some Duran merchandise. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.